This is Business Dimensions. Expert insights for your business with host Deborah Burns of Crystal River Advisors. How do you take control and conquer the biggest challenges you face? Learn from leading experts on today's show. Unlock solutions to your most difficult business problems. Now here's your host, Deborah Burns, on 770 KKOB.
Good evening. This is Deborah Burns, host of the show and managing partner of Crystal River Advisors, LLC. Crystal River Advisors help business owners focus on their business potential, performance, and profit, and overcoming the challenges to getting more of all three. You can learn more at crystalriveradvisors.com. And I want to thank our sponsor for the show tonight, Business Acquisitions, LLC. Jim Eaton at Bill Business Acquisitions helps business owners do a good job of selling and buying businesses here in our market, and he's eminently qualified. And thanks to Mike Vitale and Eric Lucero, our producers. Thanks, guys, for getting us up and on the air this week. I want to thank the folks at 770 KKOB for making this show possible for all those business owners out there. And every week, Business Dimensions brings you an expert guest to give away tips and valuable information on being more effective with your business. And tonight, I'm really delighted to have Jim Eaton from Business Acquisitions back to join us. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Deborah, for having me. I've enjoyed coming here in the past, and I'm looking forward to today.
Well, you have such a wealth of information and such a great background for advising business owners. For those of our listeners who haven't had the honor or the opportunity to hear you in the past, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my background is primarily as a CPA until I started doing business brokering on a full-time basis. And so as a CPA, I did a lot of buying and selling businesses for clients. And I represented buyers and I represented sellers. And now I do the same. I represent buyers and sellers. I just don't function as a CPA anymore. I do it as a business broker, and I'm able to help business owners see what's going on with the business they're getting ready to sell, because I've seen it so many times through my CPA firm in the past. And I know when I'm working with a buyer that I can also help them understand what is reasonable and what's not reasonable for the particular size business and particular industry business that they're looking at.
Well, and your background is rich in experience with very large transaction mergers and acquisitions with multinational firms, as well as, don't you have a commercial real estate
license? Yes, I do have a commercial real estate license, and I do work with the real estate aspect of the businesses when they're sold. I don't do residential real estate or anything like that. Only if it's in connection with the sale of a business.
Well, and I think that's great, because when you go into advising a business owner, whether they're buying or selling a business, you really have the expertise to understand the accounting aspects from your CPA background, commercial real estate aspects because of that background, and then obviously the business itself. So we are really delighted to have you here to talk tonight with our listeners about buying and selling businesses. And tonight, our topic is twofold, really. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I think it's important that business owners understand how to get their business ready to be sold. And that's kind of the primary topic that I wanted to hit on tonight. And also some tips on selling your business. So I'm working on both of those. And so here are some general items that need to be analyzed and understood. And it's not so much important what you think, but it's what the buyer thinks and what the buyer is going to think about the condition and the desirability of your business.
Right. And before you get started on your list of things that they need to be doing, tell us a little bit about when they should start this, because I see it, and you, of course, see it all the time. People decide that, I think I'll sell my business, and they haven't done anything to prepare it for sale. So how far in advance should they really start thinking and preparing for this?
Some people are going to be surprised with this answer, but the real answer is you need to be prepared or preparing to sell your business before you start it.
And oh, that's a good point.
And if you don't plan on an exit plan at some point for your business, then you're going to be stumbling towards the end, trying to get it ready for sale. 3 to 5 years ahead of time is a great time, but honestly, before you start a business, think about how you're going to get out of it.
Well, I love your answer because I always tell people, plan the end before you start, you know? And we've had other guests come on that say, failing to plan is planning to fail type
sure.
of thing. So you can't start planning to sell your business early enough.
That's correct.
And so why don't you take us through some of the things that business owners or managers need to be thinking about with respect to selling their business someday?
Well, you know, when you do that, you have to think about who you're selling it to and what your buyer is going to be interested in. And the number one thing that seems to be driving businesses, business sales today is profitability or cash flow. So you need to focus on profitability and cash flow. The time period that you need that for is you need to start usually 3 years ahead of time.
Right.
The year before the sale, your financial statements need to be totally clean, and you need to have all your personal expenses out of there so that you have 2 years that are very clean financials. It's very common in small business owners to have what's called add-backs, which means you add back to the profitability the personal expenses that you may have deducted for tax purposes that maybe a new business owner doesn't need to incur.
Right, right. And these are, you know, allowed personal expenses. We
right.
don't want to suggest that people are doing things unethical or
correct.
In violation of the tax code, but still it detracts from the value of the company.
It does. And even though you can add them back, if you're dealing with a commercial lender, the commercial lender doesn't treat them the same way.
Okay. So it's going to hurt you in the long run if you don't get those out of there. And also consistency, right? Building a stable cash flow
sure.
and profitability is also very helpful.
It really is. And another item that needs to be on your list is your financial reporting. And how accurate is it? How timely is it? Where are you?
And we've talked about this before. We're all in favor of having great bookkeeping, but you really need to have a CPA take a look at your financial reports in advance of those 2 years of developing a track record, because you want to have well-prepared GAAP approved, you know,
right.
financials, right?
You know, maybe not totally GAAP, but at least using industry standards and using accounting principles that other people can follow.
Okay.
We'll just talk about accounting systems a little bit, because that's another area that needs to be
okay.
Focused on. To give yourself a benchmark, can you get your month financial statements by 5 days after the end of the month? If you can, you're probably okay with that part of it.
Okay.
If you're getting them 15, 20, 30 days after the end of the month, that's not timely.
Right.
And so you need to step up that process. With accounting systems today, it's so much easier to get them more timely than it was 10 years ago.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's with a lot of accounting systems, you can get your financial statements that are reasonably accurate within a day or two after the end of the month.
Right. Well, that's good to know, because maybe 10 or 20 years ago, you know, a business owner just assumed there was no way of getting it more timely, and now they need to go back and look at that.
They really do. Another thing is, like, if you have job cost systems in,
mm-hmm.
can you take your job cost reports for a given time period? Let's just say the month of April.
Right.
And will that tie exactly to your gross income and your total cost of goods sold for that same accounting period? If it does, you're in better shape than most people. If it doesn't, you need to work on it.
Okay. Well, those are great tips for getting your accounting systems in good shape if you're getting your business ready to sell. For those of you that just tuned in, we're talking to Jim Eaton of Business Acquisitions LLC on his tips for getting your business ready to sell, and so you'll be ready to get the best price possible.
You know, another thing is, when I walk into a lot of businesses, I see clutter here and there, and it's really important for your business to be neat and organized. It just gives a better appearance of a well-run business than if you have piles of paper here and there, and you have scrap metal here and there, or you have wood shavings or whatever it is that your business is doing. that's not neat and organized. You have inventory. Is it neat and organized?
Right.
How does it appear? Appearance means a lot to a potential buyer.
First impressions, right?
It really is.
And because they're going to assume however you keep your shop, your business, is how you manage it and how you keep financial records. And so you want to make a good impression when they first walk in the door. That's a great tip.
Another item is that you need to have 3 years of good financials, good profitability. And the best type is that each year over the prior 3 years that you've increased your revenue, and at the same time, you've also increased your profitability. A lot of people try to sell their business based on a peak year. Buyers usually are smart enough to know that that may not be something that...
That's not representative necessarily.
And so they're going to do an average.
Right.
And the heaviest weighting on the average is going to be the most current year. But if you got a loss in the prior year, that really discredits the current year.
Well, and I love that advice because I know so many business owners, especially smaller business owners, you know, they look at it as a lifestyle job, and they figure they can cut back on a year when they don't really want to be out on the road as much for whatever reason. But if that's going to impact your profitability and cash flow, that's going to detract from your long-term sales.
Well, that's part of the idea of planning the sale ahead of time.
Right.
And so, you know, the 3 years before the sale is really the most critical.
Okay.
And, you know, for bigger businesses, it might be five. But 3 years is really critical to have increasing revenue and increasing profitability. Another thing that business buyers are going to look at is, does the business have budgets or projections? And
right.
How well have they done with those budgets and projections? Because what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to look and see what they can do with the business in the future. They're willing to pay you for what you've done, but they're not willing to pay you for what they can do with your business. So they want to know if you've had a budget in there, did you meet your budget? And if
right.
you did, great. If you didn't, why not?
Well, that's a great point because a lot of companies don't even have a budget process. They don't have a financial forecast or key goals. And so that leaves the buyer kind of wondering, was this just accidental or was this intentional? And you're not giving yourself the credit you deserve for all the hard work you put in to actually make that performance happen if it was purposeful.
Small business owners are entrepreneurial in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they sometimes don't see the need for it because they've got it all in their mind.
Right.
However, when you're getting ready to sell your business, you need to put it down on paper because a buyer's not going to be able to know what was in your mind.
Right, right. Well, and it's also great for communicating to your staff and your managers what you want to do that year and measuring how they're doing as part of their review process, you know? So I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. Okay, what else, Jim?
Also on product lines, you know, every business has multiple product lines. It doesn't matter if you're doing website designs or certain parts of your website design that you is a different product, search engine optimization, the website design itself, some graphics, and there's other things that you might do in there, some regular advertising. But analyze your product lines and whether they're profitable, which ones are more profitable than others, so that you can have that information ready for a buyer. Also, if there's other things that you've considered adding to your business in the past, your product lines in the past, find out why you did or why you haven't and consider adding them.
Right, right.
Because it will increase your revenue and hopefully your profitability at the same time.
Right. That's great advice, Jim.
Another thing is stable staff. It's the bigger the business, the more important the stable staff is. What is your average management tenure? How long has the average manager been with your business? Sales and marketing, same thing. How long have they been in your business? And then looking at your labor force and the company overall. If you've got a high turnover, particularly in the top management positions, that's not a good thing.
Right. And you might want to even track your turnover rate, your percentage, because
yes.
that will, especially if you're doing a good job of retaining staff, that's a positive for a buyer.
It certainly is. The overall thing that hits a buyer is, can the buyer replicate your results? If a buyer can't replicate your results, it doesn't mean a whole lot how successful you have been, because they can't do it themselves. And so you need to be able to make sure that you have enough information, enough systems in place. Your business is something that is not so unique that only you can do it.
Right.
Then you have something that's worthwhile to a buyer.
Yeah, we see this all the time, where small businesses tend to be very owner-centric, and they never really take the time to get all the knowledge and all the processes out of the owner's head and into the staff's head so that they can
do it
if that person isn't there. And that's something you can be working on. That's actually helpful, even if you're not ready to sell your business, in making your business more efficient, more effective, but it also adds to the ability to sell it.
Yeah, most definitely. That is a very good point. Another item is, how much family involvement do you have in your business? You know, if your business is totally family, a new buyer is going to have a real problem with that. You know, if your spouse does the accounting, that may not be as significant as having your spouse being the only marketing person in the organization.
Right.
Because very often when the owner sells the business, the family becomes less interested in the business and often moves on. And so there's the buyer without a good management team, and most likely some very key people aren't going to stay with the business if there's too much family involvement. So about 2 or 3 years before the sale of the business, you need to get your family out of the business and get them replaced with good people.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's part of it. Now, if your family's going to buy the business from you, that's a different story.
Right.
But if they're not going to buy the business from you, the likelihood of a potential buyer discounting the value of your business because of family involvement is very high.
Well, that's a very good observation, and I'm sure folks could benefit from talking to you more about how to do that. But all right, what else do you have?
Well, systems in place. Do you have IT, information technology, and what kind of systems do you have? You have a computer system? Do you have a CRM, contact relation management system in place, and does it work? How old is the system? Are you operating from a server-based 10-year-old server? If you are, buy one 3 years before you sell the business. Upgrade your IT.
Okay.
Don't do it the year before, and don't do it the year of the sale. Do it 3 years before.
Wow, that's a great insight. I would have never thought of that.
And, you know, again, back to small businesses and the entrepreneurial nature of the business owner, do you have a written marketing plan? And does your marketing plan have performance goals? And it goes back to the budget scenario also, and mm-hmm. the projections and planning. How have you done with those goals? Are you able to meet them? Have you exceeded them? If you haven't met them, why not?
Right.
Were they too lofty?
Right. And also, what's realistic? What's realistic to expect from your marketing
absolutely.
Staff?
In, mm-hmm.
And so that folks understand what to expect. Great advice.
Another area of people fail to look at is insurance. What kind of insurance do you have on your business? You know, with the Affordable Care Act, you know, the health insurance becomes a more important role than it was before, but it's something you have to consider. But do you have product liability insurance? And if a buyer comes in and gets a claim for something that you did 2 years before, what is their exposure? You're going to find that their attorneys are going to put something in the agreement that's going to protect them and leave that with you.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of times you can get what's called tail insurance, which means that after you sold the business, you still have insurance for things that happened before you sold the business. It's something to consider. Not necessarily everybody has to have that, but it's certainly something to consider. And in working with your insurance person, is your insurance person really just writing insurance that you tell them to write, or are they giving you advice and making suggestions on what kind of insurance they think you need?
Because you obviously need to have someone who's knowledgeable and taking you through all the different types of protections out there, who really understands your business, right?
That's correct.
So we're talking to Jim Eaton of Business Acquisitions LLC, and Jim is doing a great job of walking us through the things we need to be doing to get our business ready to be sold. And you can't start too early. So why don't you take us through the last 5 minutes of the show and give us some more of those great tips.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the legal status of the organization. So many small business owners don't pay attention to the LLC or the state corporate requirements for having annual minutes and meetings, and that's something that will have to be updated before the sale is complete. Your buyer's attorneys are going to make sure that they're dealing with a legal entity and not just somebody that thinks they have a corporation or thinks they have an LLC.
Right.
And this is going to carry right in into the last item that I wanted to talk to in this section, and that's the advisors or the board of directors for the business. How involved are they? Do they give you good advice? Is your attorney just somebody who does documents for you every now and then? Is your CPA just simply there filling in tax returns? Do you have an insurance agent that knows what your business is?
Right.
These are all very, very central to a business buyer wanting to buy your business. And are these contacts transferable? Can a new business buyer use the same people that you've been using? Maybe they don't want to use the same attorney. Maybe they do. I mean, your attorney may have specific industry knowledge that the attorney they've been using over the years doesn't have.
Right.
And
right.
The same thing goes with your insurance people, your accounting people. Most people have outside marketing consultants with the smaller businesses. And, you know, is that somebody that a new buyer would want to work with?
Right. And just creating that historical knowledge, even so that they don't have to come back to you, that they have that in the CPA or the marketing folks so that they get the benefit of it and have continuity in the transfer of the business.
That's correct. And it's really important to have all those things available for a new business buyer to be able to take a look at and make sure that they're going to get value for what they're paying and that they're going to be able to utilize all the information and the entrepreneurial skills and everything that you had, and that information is going to transfer to them. Another item that's really significant is making sure that you do a good transition. And doing a good transition means that you stick around long enough that the new business owner gets enough knowledge and training from you that they're going to be successful.
Well, that's the great point.
In today's environment, very often the business seller has to finance part of the sales price with the buyer. And if the seller doesn't provide training for the buyer, the buyer's not going to be profitable enough to pay that seller note.
Right.
So you've got a very vested interest in making sure that they are well trained.
Well, Jim, this has been great, and I know it's so valuable for everyone out there that's involved in business. And you have something that you'd like to give away to our listeners today. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, what I've got is I've got a schedule of some rules of thumb on business values, and these are things that you can use to give you a general idea of what a business may be worth. There are different types of businesses on this list. And it's something I could be happy to send to you either by mail or email. It's my preferred method.
Right. Totally free. You can get the business acquisition rules of thumb, business valuation partial list from Jim. And if you email him at what's your email, Jim?
My email is Eaton, Eaton, at biz-acq.com. And that's short for business-acquisitions.com. Or you can call me at 505-918-9900. And either way, I'll be happy to send you this list, and you can use it. Use it very cautiously because it doesn't apply to everything, even though...
It's a ballpark.
It's a ballpark. That's right.
That sounds great. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for coming back on the show and helping all our business owners get their business ready for sale. If you've been listening to the show and would like to listen to this podcast again, it'll be up on the 770kkob.com website under podcasts. by tomorrow morning. And for Deborah Burns, host of your show, and Jim Eaton from Business Acquisitions, I want to thank you for listening to this show this week. And tune in next Sunday at 5 p.m. for Business Dimensions here on 770 KKOB. Thanks and good night.